Alrighty, let's rock this thing. 3, 2, 1. Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, March the 26th, the 89th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Fortuna City Manager Regan Candelaria. Hey, guy.
How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Nice to see you again.
Yeah.
Last time was kind of disappointing, so it's nice to see you again.
Okay, well, I'm glad to be here. Looking forward to a fun conversation.
Oh, yeah, sure. This afternoon, we got a couple different things to talk about. Particularly of interest, I think, for most folks, a bike park. That's something that we don't see in the area yet. So we'll talk a bit about what Fortuna's thoughts and plans are about that. And also the Parlato's building. If you drive into Fortuna at all, taking the traditional way in.
Right on Main Street.
You've seen that sit there and been occupied and sit there and occupied and sit there for a little bit. So there's a little bit of movement going on with that also. We'll talk about that and I'm sure other stuff too when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria from Fortuna. But before we do, our proverb this afternoon.
Oh, proverb.
You ready?
Yes.
You like Japanese food?
Yeah, I do.
Good. Well, then this will work right in there. Luck is like having a rice dumpling fly into your mouth. See, I saw fly in mouth and immediately went, and then I looked at it again and went, ah.
I love puns. I can't believe I missed
pot
that.
Sticker. Yeah. Oh, it would lose its meaning if it said luck is like having sushi fly into your mouth.
Yeah.
That wouldn't really fly too well. Okay. Moving right along. Yeah. Yeah. Going upstream, huh? All the way. Parlato's institution. Landmark, yeah. Decades, yeah. Almost the unofficial welcoming business into Fortuna.
It's definitely one of the gateway buildings into town right off of Highway 101 right there at Main Street.
And you got the bowling alley, which is right there also. The two of them.
Used to be.
Well, okay. Now you're going to start bringing contemporary into it instead of our history. How challenging is it for a city to have buildings that aren't occupied kind of being there at the front end? Does it have any impact? Does anybody really notice?
Well, I think they do. I believe that they do. Again, it's we're the city, so there's certain things that we're responsible for, and sometimes private sector locations are those that we're not responsible for. But when they're in a gateway location, we call them gateway locations, areas that the majority of traffic either come in or exit, you know, your city or your community. Those are key locations. You want them to look nice. You want a first impression to be good. And so as a city, we try to do our best to try and ensure that landscaping might be in good condition there, that the fencing is appropriate. You know, if you've got crosswalks and different, you know, public services like that, you try to enhance those and make them as nice as possible. Maybe your entry signs into the city that say, welcome to Fortuna, or, you know, the nicer service organization signs that I know most people see up and down Highway 101 as they get into a new community. Are there, you know, the different clubs there that put their signs up? Those kind of things are important, and the city can really have some influence over those.
Now, you also have got billboards which some people see as positive, some see as negative. I kind of come from the opinion if they're maintained, great, they're bringing color.
Yeah, that billboards are an interesting topic and kind of flashed in my head the city of Santa Ana when you mentioned that. You know, early in my career, I was working with, you know, a lot of different property owners down in Santa Ana. And we had this property at First and Main, which is the main intersection of town. And there was a building there that was basically dilapidated and, you know, needed to be torn down, was unsafe. There was nobody in it, but it's right there at First and Main. So, of course, you know, not necessarily a gateway, but, you know, downtown heart of the city. And the property owner would do nothing because he had a lease to sell the advertising space for a giant billboard on top of that building, and it was worth more than the building itself. And so he didn't want to do anything, you know, because he had these huge long-term leases for ad space on top of his building.
So as you look at gateway scenarios, whether it's the left side of the street or the right side of the street as you're coming in, you mentioned that private property, okay. How much inducement, enticement, coercion, pressure can you put on somebody if the business is in there, but the building just isn't being maintained by the landlords? Give them free paint, send the crews there to paint it out the way that you want to, threaten something. I mean, how do you work that one to come up with a solution that really is beneficial for everybody?
Yeah, I hear where you're going with that. It's a real fine line. I mean, we have to be very delicate at how we address those types of situations because we do have public funds that we're responsible for utilizing and can't necessarily give those away or provide services. But we do have some enforcement tools that cities have, and I don't know that leaning pressure on somebody would be the appropriate term, but if somebody's not following the rules and they haven't maintained their building properly or they're not doing things that they're supposed to be doing as a property owner, we can, you know, effectuate a little bit of change there. But
well, let's use that silly little phrase that never has any clear definition called blight.
Okay.
I'm sure that that's in that area you were thinking. What is blight? How do you define it and how do you enforce getting rid of blight?
Well, there's some specific things that are determined. Whether it's actual blight or not, I don't know. That term can be used for a lot of different things. But if you have paint peeling off a building, if you're leaving your trash cans out, if you have signage that's not clear or you don't have numbers on the sign that public safety can respond to your facility or your building or your home, you know, those are things that we can address and that are specific and they're called out in our ordinances and codes. And
the attractive nuisance kind of
thing. Yeah, that kind of stuff is you know, one way that we can address those issues. Others are incentive programs, and you have to have a program that's already in place and approved by your council and a, you know, a resource of funding to provide those different programs where you can help somebody with facelifts, with painting, with facade improvements, with new awnings and doors and fencing, that type of thing.
Wasn't that called redevelopment?
We used to have God, you're going back in history on me again, but yes, cities used to have an excellent tool at their disposal to provide those kind of services.
See, I might not be able to win, but at least I can play. So some of those challenges got to be very frustrating. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you have a dog or plan to add one to your family, you'll want to know about the Humboldt Dog Obedience Group, or HumDog for short. HumDog, a nonprofit organization, began in 1978 and is run by 50 volunteers. Its purpose is to teach dogs good citizenship. HumDog conducts classes nearly every Monday evening throughout the year at Redwood Acres. There are puppy training classes, basic training for dogs over 6 months old, and more advanced classes. The modest fees are used to pay the rent and professional trainers. Each session lasts an hour. HumDog also puts on two annual events, the Dog Expo in March and the Dog Agility Trial in August. Both draw crowds of dog lovers. For those who apply for funds to spay or neuter their dog, HumDog has a special fund that may be able to help. See their website, www.humdog.org. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fortuna City Manager Regan Candelaria. Regan, before we kind of took a little bit of a trail about what gateways are all about, Parlato specifically, does the city have any any play in that, or are you just kind of a interested bystander as you look at the structure, hoping for somebody to occupy?
Actually, the city is a unique situation that we do. That location, the building and the grounds there, the parking lots and all the adjoining areas are owned by the city at this point. We had had a loan situation through some of our block grant dollars with a previous owner, and that was the building and grounds were collateral. And so one thing led to another, and now the city actually owns that property. And what we've been doing to try and get it back in action and make it become a new amenity for this, well, returning it as an amenity to the community, is we put out a request for proposals about 2-3 weeks ago to try and identify a new operator. Somebody might want to come in and purchase the building and operate it. We're open to, you know, any type of proposal that might come in. Of course, we'd like to see it focused on, to continue to be a restaurant. And we've actually gotten quite a bit of interest. We've got 10 inquiries. We've had 5 or 6 groups come in and actually do tours of the building to see what, you know, is still there. It's basically a turnkey operation. All of the equipment, all the machinery, everything you need to run a restaurant is there.
Except marketing.
Marketing, expertise, experience. Those are all the things that we'll be looking
for. The radio
for.
Factor. That's all you have to say, the radio factor.
They will have to promote their new restaurant. That's for sure.
Are you – if there's interest in purchasing the facility, does the city care? If it's a restaurant, great, buy it, knock your socks off. Or do you have – a secondary level of fiduciary interest, I guess.
Yeah, that's one of the things we'll be weighing as we look at the proposals that come in. I've been informed by at least 4 of those that have expressed interest and come to look at the building that they are definitely putting in a proposal. So hopefully I'll have a few things to choose from. Well, the city will have a few things to choose from. And as we make that decision, you know, we'll bring that in, you know, into the decision-making process. Because the city's not, you know... We're not really landlords, you know. We're not property managers, and we're definitely not in the restaurant business. That's not our area of expertise. But if that's what makes the most sense to the city is to have a lease or a rental type of situation, so that we get employment, so that we get sales tax, so that we get activity and have another amenity for our residents and businesses in Fortuna and the county. I understand Parlato's in the past has had a draw from around the county. So those are all good positive things that we'll definitely take into account.
So those are factors that weigh in.
Yes.
What kind of operator? What kind of
experience? Menu? Experience? See, again, the menu. I don't know. That's I don't know that me or any council members.
Another hamburger joint?
You know what? If that's the best option that we have, we may have to go there or allow that market to dictate whether that's appropriate or not.
When you say an RFP is issued by the city or a request for proposal to work with us, okay. Then what happens?
Well, then we promote that. We want to make sure that, you know, as many, you know, restaurateurs or entrepreneurs that are around in the county or, you know, regionally are aware of our opportunity in our building and, you know, the 3,500 square feet that it has and all of the parking and whatever. Give them all the details. And then we're going to review those as a city and put together a little committee and determine, you know, which proposal makes the most sense for us. And then get something moving. I've been told by, you know, 2 or 3 of the interest parties that, you know, they have the ability with their experience to get that building up and running within, you know, 45 days kind of thing. And I'm like, okay, that's another thing that we'll be looking at to see how soon we can get something going there.
You said an ad hoc committee. So you'll select, I wouldn't think you'd want to select current folks in the restaurant niche in Fortuna to be on your committee.
Well, I wouldn't think that. Competition is always going to be difficult.
Yeah, particularly if it's straight up, if one of them is a straight up competitor. So how do you determine who's on this committee? Do you grab a representative from this entity and that entity and this entity and have a 3 or 4 person gathering? Do you use the city council? How do you make that recommendation of who to put on an ad hoc committee for a piece of property that you really have some interest in?
I'm going to try to identify some people with expertise in certain areas. Number one, probably real estate. Number two, probably, in the retail, you know, restaurant, you know, business that understands what it really takes to be a successful restaurant. And maybe somebody from the policy level, as you mentioned, maybe somebody from the council, not the entire council, probably 1, maybe 2 reps to provide their input and get a good, well-rounded group to come up with a decision.
And then do background on the individual?
Well, I don't. Well, we'll do some due diligence, but I don't know about our background. You made me think I needed to include my police chief or something, but I don't think we're going that route.
No, what I was thinking is, if you've got an operator who's in there, you want somebody who's going to be stable because of that gateway, because it's a property, because it's going to reflect on the city. I mean, you put somebody in there, and the place is dark again in three months. It's going to reflect not as negative on the operator, I don't think, as it would on the city for bringing that person in.
Yeah, that's a key factor as well. But, you know, we're not unaware of the fact that restaurants have a difficult time. You know, you look at that industry and new startups have a tough time.
You mean the silent partner syndrome?
So we understand that. And, you know, but with somebody that has some experience and some potential and maybe some financial backing to start with, that they're not going to try and lean on the city for that. Is probably going to have a larger chance for success.
Will the same proposal for renting versus purchasing be entertained, or to have somebody buy the building, is that going to have a higher priority for you guys?
Neither. Yeah, we're going to wait and take a look at all the proposals and see what comes up.
It's 3:30.
Decade of Difference presents a brand new competition, Innovate, a business challenge opportunity to pitch your creative idea. First step, upload a 60 to 90 second elevator pitch highlighting your business venture idea by March 29th. 40 finalists will be selected to move on to phase two. But don't wait. First 100 entries receive a free iTunes gift card. To upload your video and get more information, visit decadeofdifference.org. A grand prize of up to $2,500 will be awarded. Don't wait. Innovate.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fortuna City Manager Regan Candelaria. Regan, we also wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about the bike park. Now, the concept of a bike park, I think, is rather unique in our area. We got skateboard park, a couple of them, that seem to be pretty well utilized, haven't been taken over by segments of the society that there were concerns about early on. What was pushing Fortuna towards entertaining the concept of a bike park?
Well, we were the city was approached by the Bike Committee, and they actually incorporated as a nonprofit organization a group of students from one of the elementary schools in town. I believe it was Toddy Thomas and some of their instructors there and parents. And they put together a group, and they felt that there was a need in town to have a safe place for kids to, you know, ride their bikes and you know, have the activities. And they wanted some interesting terrain. They wanted something that wasn't just, you know, a flat, you know, street in town. So they wanted some jumps and, yeah, some turns and whoop-de-doos and whatever.
About a 300-foot incline. Making an aerobic opportunity as well.
Some of them would probably love that. So they approached the city with a private sector location. They had a donation of some land. And the owner said, sure, go ahead, put your bike park there. And so the committee got to work. And unfortunately, that location just had some constraints. It wasn't really working for them. And the city was having trouble permitting that type of thing as a public use in a private sector location.
Was it a neighborhood kind of a thing? Or
it was on a commercial street, a high traffic street. And then it was a commercial property. And then it was residential, you know, a couple parcels in. But just the fact that it was on a high traffic street with kids trying to get to a park and no bike
lane.
Concerns
of safety.
So it was just tough. And so as a city, we were just having difficulty with that. So we decided to take another look and find out, well, what can we do to help this group that wants to come to town? And we identified some low impact space or low use space at Newburgh Park. In Fortuna.
That's what I was wondering, if the ballpark or...
Yeah, out behind the ballpark.
Sense. Yeah.
Right, where there's some open space still, but it doesn't get a lot of use. It really doesn't get much use at all. And so we worked with the bike committee to see if that would be a location that they could work with. And they agreed, and so they were happy to have that. And so it's become a partnership.
Do a land swap for that?
No.
Or they just gave it back to whoever the individual was?
Yeah, I guess that's on their side, what they did with the private sector location. But the city agreed to work on designating this section of Newburgh Park as, you know, a bike park for bike terrain. And so it went through our Recreation Commission, and then it went ultimately to our city council, and they approved designating a certain portion of Newburgh Park for this bike committee. to come in and develop their park, which will include fencing to designate it as a specific area. They can import their terrain and have the bike lay out the way they wanted it. They'll work with us in terms of operation and signage and, you know, that type of thing, and some ongoing maintenance that they'll be responsible for within the, this park area. But it'll fall under the city's long-term, you know, amenity.
Liability?
Under the city, you know, our insurance, similar to any, you know, as you mentioned earlier, there's skateboard parks and there's other amenities that cities provide. So there'll be all of those typical types of requirements, but our insurance company will be able to handle that.
Is there a lot of infrastructure needs that the city will have to invest in? Because all I think is piles of dirt here and piles of dirt there, and we kind of push it this way and we massage it that way.
That's the basic idea. And what the city wanted to do was just say, okay, we've designated your space and we want you to have fencing around it. Other than that, it's up to them to develop and decide how it's going to be maintained the best and controlled and have safety and all of that. The issues that the city was concerned with was making sure that we had access to this location, that there was a good hard surface leading out to it. Emergency vehicles. I don't know if we mentioned earlier about ADA access. If somebody wants to roll up in their wheelchair or however they get there to watch or to be involved, or bringing their children there, whatever. So we want to make sure that was there. Lighting. Those are the types of things that we want. And then the long-term maintenance to make sure that it's not going to be too difficult of a process.
Because I would think that that's one of the temptations with this is everybody's fired up. They're excited about it early on. Rah, rah, rah. Okay. Project 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now the novelty is gone. The kids have grown up, the initial wave. Okay, maybe the second wave is interested. Maybe the second wave isn't quite so interested.
Mm-hmm.
It can almost become an albatross.
Well, that's where, and sometimes we catch, you know, a bad rap for asking too many questions or requiring too many things. But as you mentioned, that's got to be our perspective, is 10 years out, you know, really 50, 100 years out. We're the city of Fortuna. We've been here 100 years. We need to be here another 100 years. And so if we have a bike park in, you know, 2013, you know, we need to be prepared to continue to provide that service or manage it or maintain it, you know, 20, 30 years out.
Boy, that's kind of uncomfortable, isn't it? Where's the city going to be in 2052?
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to imagine that, but if you think 100 years back, there was somebody like me providing services, or you know,
or the little guys getting born now. Yeah, they'll be having kids then. Absolutely, you got to anticipate that.
Yeah, that's an important lesson I was always taught.
Calendar shock for me though.
You know, I mentioned earlier Santa Ana, where I grew up in local government. That was what the city manager would always share with staff. You know, we have to be thinking about the decisions we make today and how they impact us in the future, and not just next week or in a couple years from now. But he shared that long-term history of the city that, you know, what we're doing now, the guys that are going to be following us later need to be prepared to take this on and be successful with it.
The plus 50.
Yes.
Yeah, not 50 plus. Plus 50. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:42. We'll be back with more from Regan Candelaria.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria. Regan, one quick touch about the bike park. What kind of timeline, what status is this thing? Does the city have any official role, or are you just the nice bystander who has interest?
Now, we have a role. We're going to continue to be a partner to this bike committee. They have already generated some dollars over the last, I think it's been about a year and a half that they've been working on this project, enough that they think to do the fencing and do the incorporation of the dirt and the terrain and some signage and get the thing started. And they want to start this spring and summer. So we're looking at this project being online for kids and all of the community this summer.
Are you going to fast track the permits?
I don't know that there's any specific permits required, but we will make sure that it gets done safely and properly.
You know, I couldn't cream puff you all the time.
Well, thank you.
Oh, geez. Just because I know you get beat up if you don't talk about tourist activities in the next little bit. Are you guys doing an Easter egg hunt or anything like that for this weekend? Do you know of one?
The merchants downtown have their Easter basket program, and I don't think that the Easter egg hunt is scheduled for this year. But in terms of tourism, it's funny you ask because today the Chamber of Commerce had their tourism committee meeting, so I have a little bit of info from them. I understand that their itineraries package, which is a new informational item that's on their website, the discovertheredwoods.com website, to help people that are coming to the area figure out what to do and what the locals suggest doing in this part of the state. So that's a nice new promotional tool that the committee has on board. We mentioned a bike park earlier that we're talking about. There's also a dog park proposal that's out there. The committee.
Isn't it amazing how those things seem to be getting all this traction?
They've moved along quite a bit.
You go
up
to McKinleyville it's not even a park. It's a trail kind of with an open field around the water treatment.
Huh.
100, 150 people will be there on a Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're very popular. It is, and that's why the tourism committee has taken this on as one of their projects in Fortuna, because they see a lot of transient occupancy tax potential from people that travel with their animals. And I'm sure we've all seen, people with their animals in their cars, and they need a nice place to stay and an activity, while they're on the road.
So is this being considered out on the west side of the highway? Where the hotels are?
In that general direction area of town, yes, there's a parcel that they're looking at, and they're trying to come up with an agreement right now, and they actually have some funding in place already as well to put together the initial, dog park itself. So it's an exciting new thing that hopefully will be coming to fruition in Fortuna real soon.
I think the first one of those I saw was in Medford. And it was the strangest thing. Hmm. What, all the people just bring their dogs there and let them run around? Well, yeah, kind of, sort of.
Yeah, my wife used to drag me to one with her dog, and back in Laguna Beach.
Her right dog. I heard that pronoun.
Oh yeah,
our dog.
I don't claim any of her animals.
Her dog. Okay.
There's plenty of them, and so yes.
A little menagerie going on there. Huh?
Yeah. Hope she's not listening to this.
But there is a thing about that, a kind of a cultural social thing that goes on also. How large are they talking, or has it gotten to that point yet?
The location that they're looking at is a little over a half acre, so a good, decent size, has good access. They're working with a local partner from the business community, which I think makes just great sense for them. And also the city, we're going to play a small role in this this dog park development as well.
Kind of cool stuff. Then that we'll just kind of hear about as it percolates through.
It should be coming up in the very near future. So probably the next time I'm in, I'll have some more details for you.
Ah, very cool. Very cool indeed. Enjoy your meeting tonight.
Thank you.
We have a doggy shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.